Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here with my man Clay, and we are going to make sense of everything for you today. We've got the immediate leaping to the defense of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, by all kinds of pundits and commentators. It's not treason if it's against Trump, you see. That's actually the rule. I don't know if you know this, but this is the special rule that exists for anything done to Donald Trump, past, present, or future. There are different rules. We'll explain why that's insane, but unfortunately, that is the reality that we face. Plus, Nicki Minaj has some vaccine questions, gets a lot of attention from the left for this. They're very upset with her over this, just like they're upset apparently with Jon Stewart, the former Daily Show comedian, because he said, yeah, the lab leak hypothesis, it turns out you're not allowed to break from the team on that either. But first, we have to make some sense of the situation here in California, where Republican Larry Elder is not, in fact, unfortunately, going to be the next governor. Governor Gavin Newsom, the oleaginous Democrat of the state of California.
Look at you, SAT words.
You like that one? I thought you might like that one.
I think, what percentage of our audience knows that word?
A lot. Everybody knows oleaginous. It's a great word. The point here being, Mr. Clay, that he is an oily used car salesman individual who somehow, actually it's not surprising, with millions and millions of dollars raised and spent, with the entire Democratic power apparatus behind him, deploying Joe Biden, deploying Barack Obama. The fact that California is turning into increasingly an unlivable hellscape in the major cities, there is crime, there is vagrancy, there is there are brownouts, there are wildfires, there are all levels of government mismanaged. But if you tell your base, if you tell registered Democrats, the state of California, Trumpism or Trump himself in some manifestation is on the ballot, you get a replay, which is what it looks like we have, of the 2020 election in the state of California. What do you see from the data?
So we haven't seen the full numbers that are out, right? The numbers that I'm looking at, about 70% are in, but it looks almost identical to what happened in the 2020 presidential election, which would suggest that nothing has really changed in California and that people are still substantially wedded to whatever belief they had in 2020. It hasn't changed as we move into 2021. What I would say in general is California, to me, is a sign of what happens when you believe that your side is always right. And I understand that we're in a tribal era and everybody just automatically, it doesn't matter what the situation is. We'll talk about this. I'm certain with General Milley. What I try to do is apply consistent logic to stories, and that doesn't happen very much, right? And that's why I think Republicans right now do a better job of applying logic to stories and moving on reason as opposed to emotion. But they were able to tug on those emotional heartstrings of Donald Trump as the boogeyman that's always underneath the bed for Democrats, that they are able to turn him into a way to get people, a motivator to get people out to vote. What's challenging, I think, in general is, and this is what we've talked about a lot on this show, Buck, how do you break through? And what does a breakthrough look like? And maybe the answer is going to be 2022 is going to be a lot like 2016 and 2018 and 2020. And we're basically just in such of a 50-50 America that it's almost impossible for somebody to get to 55-45, right? God forbid 60-40. And so that's what I keep waiting for, is when logic and truth and sanity is going to break out and we're going to have such a win that one of the political parties has to go look at itself in the mirror and say, okay, it's time to adjust. Let me explain what I mean by that. Defeat is oftentimes clarifying, right? Anybody who's ever played a sport, if you put out your best game plan and you get your ass kicked, it's maybe a sign that your best game plan wasn't the right one. And so Democrats' game plan is everything is racist right now. That's their entire game plan. That's what they ran on in 2016. That's what they doubled down on in 2020. It's identity politics. It's cancel culture. It's that world that they have created. And so far, they haven't gotten their teeth kicked in an election where they've had to say, hey, you know what? This is not a message that resonates in America. And similarly, Democrats,
they're going in the opposite direction now, right? They're saying that this actually proves everything that Gavin Newsom did was correct, that everything that Gavin Newsom has instituted from the COVID vaccines and from everything that's happening, this was actually instead of a moment here where we say, wow, look at Californians finally, and some level, and this is what you were alluding to earlier in the week, if the numbers were quite different from what they're looking to be, wow, they actually can pay attention to results and not just ideological political tribalism. Yes. What we actually have here is, no, they'll forget about the hypocrisy of Newsom at French Laundry. They'll decide that the brownouts and the vagrancy and the broad daylight shoplifting without a care in the world in San Francisco and Los Angeles, that doesn't matter as much as Orange Man bad, even though Orange Man, in this case, Trump, of course, isn't on the ballot, isn't in office, and has nothing to do with any of this, but they can just get the base motivated to turn out in very similar numbers by percentage to what we saw in 2020.
That's exactly what I was going to say. In many ways, is that the Democrats are going to argue Trumpism lost again. The Republican Party, as long as it stays committed to Donald Trump, is impossible of winning on a major level. And both sides, I think, are able to look at the result of 2020 and argue, hey, if we just tweak things a little bit more, we would have won by a substantial margin. And so you're basically setting up, and we'll see what happens in 2022, where there's a large expectation that so many people are so dug in, to use your Maginot Line theory, right?
May we
that
be absurd.
Basically, yeah, we just basically have both sides in their readouts set up in their right. Bunkers.
There was no real ground gained here against liberalism in California. And now, of course, the narrative, and we have here Gavin Newsom saying what his, I mean, look, this guy, Gavin Newsom, he's so shameless that there's almost a level of respect, right? This is the guy that, you know, would buy the car off of you for half what you paid it and then try to sell it back to you for twice. I mean, he's just, it doesn't matter, right? He'll
a
say
used
whatever,
car
do whatever.
Is a great way to describe it.
Here he is talking about how, well, his assessment of what went on here.
No is not the only thing that was expressed tonight. I want to focus on what we said yes to as a state. We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic. We said yes to people's right to vote without fear of fake fraud or voter suppression. We said yes to women's fundamental constitutional right to decide for herself what she does with her body, her fate and future. We said yes to diversity. We said yes to inclusion. We said yes to pluralism. We said yes to all those things that we hold dear as Californians, and I would argue as Americans.
Who says no to science, by the way? These are the straw man arguments.
Making us wear masks. The people who are insisting that you can't have natural immunity. I mean, there's a large amount of science that Democrats are saying no to, I would argue. But that sounds to me, Buck, if I'm Kamala Harris, my antenna are going up. That doesn't sound like a, hey, I won a recall election. That sounds like a, hey, this is why I need to be the president of the United States, right? Because we've talked about what is going to happen unless they try to, because this is another
takeaway.
You
love the comeback story, man, whether it's Cuomo or now Newsom. You think they go the distance.
I just think that when we look at 2024, I don't think that they can drag. I keep using it because I think it's an accurate, sort of.
How many of our audience have seen Weekend at Bernie's? But I hope everyone gets the reference. For those of you wondering,
it is an
absurd movie. It is like the most absurd movie of all time. There's a guy. There's like some finance bros in the '80s who go. What is it? They want to go to like a guy's
house.
I'm going
to look up the Wikipedia for Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, anyway.
I'll give a perfect plot synopsis for people out there who haven't seen it. Basically, a dead man is really has an amazing house, and I think he's like the uncle of these guys. And in order to be able to have the lifestyle that they want, they take the dead body around and pretend that Bernie is still alive.
It's one of the most absurd movies ever made, actually, when you think about it.
And then, as absurd as Weekend at Bernie's 1 was, they made Weekend at Bernie's 2.
I was unaware of that.
Oh, yeah. Weekend at Bernie's 2 came out, and that is where, so Biden getting elected is the Democrat version of Weekend at Bernie's, right? Like, they had to just drag him around. They got him across the finish line. Now they're going to try Weekend at Bernie's 2. I don't even think that's going to work. So there's going to be somebody who runs, right? And we know this. That's different, I think, than Joe Biden, very likely. And so Kamala Harris is going to be the presumptive favorite because it's racist and sexist if she's not the nomination based on the Democratic platform right now. But when I hear that Gavin Newsom argument, it doesn't sound like an argument about the recall. It's a forward-thinking argument for the validation of all of his policies in California, writ large in America, wondering if he's going to try to run.
Now he also becomes, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a snapback here, if you will, because the right can't, you know, you remember, in The Wire, right? You come at the king, you best not miss, right?
Yes.
We came at Newsom here, the Republicans did, and others in California, and they missed. And so now what ends up happening, politically speaking, of course, what ends up happening, Clay, is he says and turns around and says, I am actually the one who stood athwart the anti-science Republican effort to tear down the Fauciite edifice that we need to build. I'm the one that people need to rally around. He is going to position himself now as the left's Ron DeSantis. Watch it happen.
I think that's
the move, right? Then, you know, you're talking about, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 4 years? I mean, who knows where we're going to be in 2024? But for right now, think of all the political capital he can gather by becoming the leader of the Democrat governors during the pandemic now and say, I even withstood not just the pandemic, but those underhanded Trumpist attempts to take me out of office when I was saved. I mean, like, I could write the PR bullcrap that they're going to be putting out there. I don't want to help them too much.
And there's no Cuomo now to try to take away the attention. Like, he is the standard bearer for the left-wing response to COVID.
Come back into some more on this, and also the General Milley stuff. I mean, we called it yesterday. We absolutely nailed it here on the show. Clay and I are saying, well, this looks like treason, and the first thing I say is, well, the left is going to say that he's actually a hero. They're going to go in the opposite direction.
No doubt.
With General Milley. We'll get into that in a few moments. But if you're like me, you might have a lot of old photos or even home movies, and you want to share them with friends and family, right? So can you watch that priceless footage? I mean, Clay, do you have a VHS player at home right now? I know I don't. What are you going to do?
We do not.
Yeah, we do not.
We do have an 8-bit Nintendo. I think that's the oldest part of technology.
I kind of miss Atari. But anyway, every day, VCRs, film projectors, they get harder to find. You go on eBay, it's super expensive. If you get one, will it even work? And the media you're storing continues to wear down and become more vulnerable. That's why you need Legacy Box. Legacy Box is your chance to have aging tapes, films, and photos digitally preserved. So the ability to relive your family history is never lost because of a leaky pipe or summer days that make your attic hot to melt the tapes, right? This week, Legacy Box is offering 40% off at legacybox.com/Clay and Buck so that you can start future-proofing your past today, Clay. Check it out.
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity. You'll be glad that you did it. You can get hooked up right now. 40% off. Look, trust these guys. Tennessee-based company, you know that they are going to be able to take care of you. We trust them with our cherished objects, and they will take care of you as well. That's why you need to visit legacybox.com/clay to take advantage of this offer, 40% off. Take advantage of the offer today. Again, easy to do. Get all of your great older family mementos preserved forever digitally. Go again, legacybox.com/clay, 40% off one more time. Trust them to help preserve your family's history at legacybox.com/clay. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a great Wednesday as we roll through halfway through the month of September now, I guess, at this point. and the Gavin Newsom recall election attempt failed, and you knew what was going to happen when it fails, and we were just talking about this, Gavin Newsom then makes a play to become the standard bearer of his party, especially in the wake now of Cuomo being off the stage. Gavin Newsom didn't just say that he was avoiding being recalled. He also used it as an opportunity to attack Donald Trump. And the big lie here is Gavin Newsom.
Democracy is not a football. You don't throw it around. It's more like a, I don't know, antique vase. You can drop it and smash it in a million different pieces. And that's what we're capable of doing if we don't stand up to meet the moment and push back. I said this many, many times on the campaign trail. You know, we may have defeated Trump, but Trumpism is not dead in this country. The big lie, January 6th insurrection, all the voting suppression efforts that are happening all across this country, what's happening, the assault on fundamental rights, constitutionally protected rights of women and girls. It's a remarkable moment in our nation's history.
That is Gavin Newsom. Look out, Kamala Harris. He's coming for your spot as the presumptive nominee. Would he have the gumption to challenge her after she is also obviously a Californian and spent a lot of time campaigning for him? Do you think he'd do it, Buck?
You'd have to say who would the Democrat apparatus go for? Who would they rather have? I think there's a very clear recognition, even among, and I'm talking about the Democrats that I know, and I've got Democrat friends, people in our business that are on the left, and I'll talk to them from time to time. I think they know that originally they believed Kamala Harris would, if put in the spot, she couldn't get people to vote for her, but if you put her in the vice president role, it's an easy job. And I think there's some real remorse, if you will, from those who made that, from the Biden campaign, the handlers around him that put her in that position. I look, Gavin Newsom, as much as it pains me to say this, is a more talented politician than Kamala Harris is. I think that's quite clear. I think he's a savvier guy. And so I got to feel like they'd go. Remember, they jumped over Biden to give it to Hillary. You know, Biden was the VP for 8 years. So there's precedent here.
The difference is, and I think it's a fascinating discussion, because the difference is the Democratic Party has leaned in even more to race and sex identity. So
yeah, but
how
look who
race,
the president is, right?
I mean, yeah,
the,
I know.
The oldest white guy on the planet, basically.
Yes.
Like, that's who actually the president is.
And that's who Democrats actually supported. They didn't like Kamala Harris. But I do think that speech that we played a couple of clips from for you for Gavin Newsom is what his campaign will be like if he decides to run. In the meantime, I got to tell you, MyPillow products are absolutely phenomenal. I love them. They've changed our family's sleep lives for the better. And now they've done it again with my slippers. These slippers are incredible. They spent 2 years ensuring they weren't just any ordinary slippers. My wife wears these things all over the house. A three-tier cushioning system, MyPillow foam, gel. I mean, these things are the most comfortable shoes that have ever been made. You can wear them all day long, indoors and outdoors. High-quality leather. And right now, you guys get 50% off my slippers. I wear them, my wife wears them, we got them all through the house. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, use promo code ClayandBuck. 1 year warranty, 60-day money back guarantee. 1 year warranty. When do you ever get that on slippers, on shoes, on anything? Lots of other specials and discounts on their website. You need to go check them all out today. Mike Lindell is fighting for you. You can check out his products. They're fantastic. MyPillow.com, promo code ClayandBuck, 800-792-3269.
If it is actually true, which is hard to believe, that's treason. And I would think, I've had so many calls today saying, that's treason. You heard a lot of anger about China on trade, and we made a great trade deal. You heard a lot of anger on China with the China virus. But for him to say that I would even think about attacking China, I think he's trying to just get out of his incompetent withdrawal out of Afghanistan. The worst, the dumbest thing that anybody's seen, probably the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to our country.
Once again, Trump cuts right to the heart of the matter. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck. That was Trump. And Clay, here's just for everyone. This is a quick review here, right? This is from Reuters. The top U.S. general secretly called his Chinese counterparts twice over concerns then President Donald Trump could spark a war with China as his potential election loss loomed and in its aftermath. That was Washington Post initial reporting. By the way, part of the whole system, the machinery of Woodward book promotion at hard at work here, right? The Washington Post comes out with the story.
Just got to bow down at them. They're so good at this.
They know how to do that, right? But it also does seem to have been somewhat, at least early corroboration, and it certainly seems plausible. But before, Clay, we get into it, our initial reaction yesterday, I remember I said this to you, was, oh, they're going to say that he's a hero for doing this, right? The same way that the people that were trying to pretend Trump was crazy so he should be removed from the 25th Amendment, which is an abuse of the 25th Amendment. Clearly, the president was of sound mind, but it wouldn't have mattered because they wanted him gone. They're already trying to normalize this back-channel communication. But what Trump said there, Clay, I think is the single most important aspect of all of this. The notion that Donald Trump was going to start a war with China is as insane as the notion that Donald Trump worked with Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin to steal the 2016 election, but libs, because of Trump derangement syndrome, will believe anything about this guy.
Yeah, and look, I just want to focus on, so I think if he did this in the way that it was reported, I do think it's treason, okay? And I want to focus on a couple of angles here that we started to talk about yesterday, but I think are significant. And you know this, Buck, as somebody who worked in intelligence. If you have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs reaching out to his Chinese counterparts to let them know that he won't be executing orders on behalf of President Trump if he disagrees with them, basically, that is such a fundamental fracturing of the American political process that it could have emboldened China to potentially invade Taiwan, right? Milley thought, if you buy his version of the truth that is being told in the Woodward book, that he was actually making the world safer. Chinese people who are advising Chairman Xi could have gone to him and said, the United States politically is so fractured right now, the military will not support Donald Trump. Now is the time, if ever, for us to invade Taiwan. I don't believe the U.S. will be able to respond militarily. So, Buck, you know how this stuff works from an intelligence fashion. If you knew that the top military official, or one of them, was contacting through back channels one of our American officials and saying, hey, I'm not going to follow the orders of the commander in chief, would that not embolden you in some way for the incompetence that you were seeing on the other side?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very, very astute framing of the issue, Clay. I would also add a comparison, which is really just what you're doing, but I would add a specific comparison of, remember during the transition with General Flynn, incoming national security advisor, yes, we were told that it was a huge problem, a violation of the Logan Act, for the incoming national security advisor to have a conversation with his Russian counterpart, Ambassador Sergei Kislyak, of the Russian embassy in the U.S. And all he said, I mean, we've all seen the transcript. By the way, no one ever went to prison for that leak of classified information to the Washington Post, I might add. Somehow they always get away with this stuff when it goes against Trump people. But that showed us that all he said was, don't overreact. There's a new, we're coming in. Let's calm things down a little bit. And Clay, they wanted to, they pretended that they could actually get General Flynn on a Logan Act violation, yeah, a criminal violation for that, and that he was a traitor. People called General Flynn, who served the military for 30 years, a traitor. For that, he didn't do anything. He wasn't betraying the commander in chief. He was working on behalf of the incoming commander in chief. And that led to criminal investigation. That led to Flynn's resignation. They tortured Flynn in the courts for years over this. Do you think they're going to do that to General Milley? I don't think so.
Of course not. And that leads to my second part, which I want to hit when we come back into the final part of the first hour here. Democrats are defending Milley. And as we get ready to go to this break, I just want you to think about this. And this is where I say precedent matters. I don't think Joe Biden is doing a good job as president. I don't think that anybody out there,
it's a bold statement.
Quinnipiac came out with their poll at some point in today's show. I'll read you some of the findings. Joe Biden's approval rating has fallen to 42% in the most recent poll from Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac? How do you pronounce that?
Quinnipiac.
You say it. There you go. They do a regular poll, okay? We're going to talk about that. But I just want you to think about this as we go to break. Even as much as we all agree Joe Biden is doing an awful job, how wrong would it be for a top military official to call China through back channels and say, I just want you to know, Biden is in such poor mental state that no military official in the United States is going to listen to anything he tells us to do.
Can I also say, Clay, that even if, and the whole way they're defending Milley on this, I mean, to the point you're raising, even if Milley had the purest of intentions in doing this by not, which I do not agree with. I think he's insane. I think the notion of a war with China is crazy. But that he would do this in a way that would undermine the actual sitting commander in chief presents, and this is what you're saying with Taiwan, it presents an opportunity. Maybe the Chinese counterpart goes, well, if they're having this fight over the election, they're that worried about this. By the way, forget about Taiwan or anything else for a second, although that's obviously something that would be a concern too. Maybe we add fuel to the fire in America. The Chinese have all kinds of cyber operations, all kinds of things they could do. Makes us even more vulnerable. It's kind of like, you know, we're a big American family, right? And a lot of people, I know I believe in this rule. There's stuff you say within the family, but outside, you're a united front, right? We're supposed to be a united front, especially against our biggest global rival and the only real military threat we face. And General Milley thought that this was a good idea. I mean, this guy, look, that's the same reason we say he's terrible decision-making and judgment when it comes to, you know, white fragility on the reading list for military officers.
Yeah, well, and giving up Bagram Air Force Base and the disaster in Afghanistan. But again, I just want you to think, and we're going to talk about this when we come back, Democrats are defending Milley. But I just want you to think about the institution of the American presidency and the importance that we have a commander-in-chief who is a civilian and that the civilian gets to direct the military. And when the military is saying, regardless of who the commander-in-chief is, that they're not going to follow the lead of the commander-in-chief, the democratically elected president of the United States, regardless of your political leanings, this is treasonous behavior laced with espionage. And I want to talk about that when we come back because it's in the context of what Democrats are saying right now. But in the meantime, you got AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Tens of thousands of listeners out there will tell you you're paying too much because they've already signed up for Pure Talk. Pure Talk, they came to my house. They sat at my table. They gave my son his first ever cell phone, iPhone 12. We're hearing stories, and my family's one of them, people saving $60, $70, $80 a month. That means the average family can save up to $800 a year. My own son, a lot of you are nervous about it. You want to have unlimited data, text, and 6 gigs for just $30 a month. No overages. My own family is using this, Buck. Can save $800 a year. What do people need to do to save as much money as they can on their cell phone bill?
Well, I just want them to know, Clay, they got an amazing offer, right? Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data. It's only $30 a month. You're just saving money getting what you need here for your phone with better customer service. So from your cell phone right now, if you want to switch, and you should, dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message from Pure Talk.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Just kind of setting the table, because we're going to continue to talk about this General Milley mess. And one of the things that bothers me in general is when no matter what the facts are, your natural inclination is to act as if you are the defense attorney for a particular political party. And MSNBC, I think, does this on an unbelievable level. And I'm going to unpack this a little bit more at the start of the second hour for why you should be concerned about the actions undertaken by General Milley, no matter whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, because they go right to the heart of the constitutional responsibilities of the military in our republic. But, Buck, they've already come out with a statement, the Pentagon has, basically saying that he didn't do anything, right?
We here we go. This is from Lucas Tomlinson over at Fox News. From the Pentagon, General Milley regularly communicates with foreign counterparts, including China and Russia. These conversations remain vital to U.S. national security interests, reducing tensions, providing clarity, and avoiding unintended consequences or conflict. His calls with the Chinese and others in October and January were in keeping with these duties and responsibilities, conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability. All calls from the chairman to his counterparts, including those reported, are staffed, coordinated, and communicated with the Department of Defense and the interagency. Clay, you could say they are calling this a perfectly fine phone call.
That's exactly what they're doing, but the way that it's been conveyed to Bob Woodward, at least through his book, is certainly not the way the Pentagon just tried to spin this. And what I would say is it's not a surprise, because we told you yesterday when this story broke, and again, I think you have to give credit to Bob Woodward and the masterful ability he has as books come out to distribute newsworthy tidbits to the different news organizations so they end up being discussed. But Joy Reid on MSNBC immediately came out and said, we're about to play for you. But before you listen to this, I want you to just think, if General Milley had gotten on the phone with China and he had said, Joe Biden, his mental faculties have declined to such an extent that we are not in the military ever going to follow his orders. We have made a pact. We want to let you know that if he decides that he wants to attack China, we're never going to do it. Would Joy Reid be saying what she did last night? Listen.
Senator Cruz and others suggesting that's almost traitorous behavior from Milley to talk to the Chinese like that. And in fact, Senator Rubio called for Joe Biden to fire him.
Yeah, okay. Good luck with that, because he seems to be the greatest patriot that was on duty during the previous administration. This is General Milley again, who I have to say is emerging as a pretty important and heroic American figure in this era. Milley reportedly told his counterpart, this may look unsteady, but that's the nature of democracy. And this is him talking with Chinese General Li. General Li, he says, we are 100% steady. Everything's fine, but democracy can be sloppy sometimes. That might be the understatement of the year.
He said, if we're going to attack you, I'll let you know first.
I'll give you a heads up.
As if war with China was imminent because Trump was saying that there were some uncounted ballots in Georgia or double counted ballots in Pennsylvania or whatever. Clay, this is lunacy, but it also falls right into the pattern. Remember the anonymous op-ed writer, and then we found out who the guy was, and every person, I was in that White House sometimes, I knew lots of people in the administration and spoke to the president a bunch of times. Every person was like, what? Who is this guy? But remember, his whole thesis was, I have to stop President Trump, the anonymous op-ed writer, from doing what he wants to do because that's how much I love the country. And you had Democrats all over saying, oh, isn't this great? And this was true within the federal bureaucracy, too. People that were trying to thwart him. This is madness.
I just want to say again, he told the Chinese that if we were going to attack them, he would give them a heads up, Buck. Imagine, again, imagine the analogy that I used yesterday. If we had gotten a phone call or a secret telegram back in the 1940s from a top Japanese military official letting them know, hey, on December 7th, 1941, instead of the day that lives in infamy, we're going to let you know so that your entire Pearl Harbor fleet is ready, mobilized, and prepared. This won't be a surprise attack on your Pacific fleet. Instead, we'll be sending our Japanese troops into an absolute hornet's nest where everybody is prepared and they can wipe us out. That would be espionage. That would be treason, even looking at it from the Japan to America perspective. If you want to stick at World War II, imagine that somebody had called the Nazis and said, hey, you know how we're fainting like we're going to come across at all these different locations, and it's super top secret where we're exactly going to land on D-Day? Well, we're coming into Normandy. Just so you know, we're coming into Normandy. That's treason. That's right, well, espionage.
That would be advanced knowledge of an actual military action.
This is crazy because he's promising advanced knowledge of something that no sane human being actually thought was going to happen, and yet they just skip over that part of it. Like, oh, I mean, at any moment, Clay, they said we were going to start a war with North Korea. They said we were going to start a war with fill in the blank, with Iran.
With Iran after we killed Soleimani.
So many. Yes. Well, because of the Soleimani killing. So many times Trump was going to start a war, and yet 4 years, no war started. Pretty interesting when you look at it that way, huh? But all
not
of
even
a
just
sudden,
a
the
war,
media
but
wants us to believe
World
we're about
III.
To invade Beijing. They need to go Fauci themselves.
World War III. It wasn't just we were going to start a war. It was World War III. It was going to be a cataclysmic struggle. And again, I would just say, think about it. And we're going to talk about this at the top of the second hour because I think it's such a significant story here. Think about what the reaction would be if General Milley was doing this to Joe Biden. Would Joy Reid be going on MSNBC and saying he's a patriot? He's a hero. He's courageous.
Well, I mean,
now they're going to say
she's like the most laughably dishonest commentator
right.
on television.
But
there's a few that we could put up against her, but there are other people that are supposed
argument.
To be serious, Clay, supposed
right.
to be serious, who are entirely unserious on this issue.
And what I just want to do is I want to apply the same precedents, and I want to talk about why this is treasonous behavior, why I think it is espionage, and why we certainly should be investigating what exactly went on, what was said, and how it all happened, and not bragging in a Bob Woodward book about it.
Speaking of serious and worthwhile people, don't we have a certain senator joining us to talk about all of the things?
All of the things. Senator Rand Paul will join us. We'll probably play him some of that chicken pox versus COVID vaccine discussion we had with Dr. Macri from Johns Hopkins yesterday. A lot of good stuff still coming.
That's going to be the third hour. Senator Rand Paul talking to us about all things COVID and just what's going on in the country. Clay's going to bring us back in here a second with, is it not treason if it's against Trump? Let's answer that question.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.